Live.
Uncensored.
Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
All right, I'm back. Hello, everyone. Good evening, and welcome back to our program. And it's good to have you with us again tonight. And we have invited here an individual who, you know, because of the discussions that we've been having again most recently due to the events of the Mideast and what's going on in the world, we've been talking a lot about Scripture, obviously, and what it does and does not say. And because of that, we've invited a gentleman, Pastor Eli James, and the website is anglo-saxon.com. Israel, and I see up on the screen the eighth beast of the apocalypse. And let me say hello to Eli. Hello, Eli.
Yes, hello, Rick. Glad to be here.
Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I don't hear him.
Okay.
Now I hear him.
Okay.
Hi, is that you?
Yes.
Hi. How do you want me to refer to you, as Eli or Pastor?
No, Eli is fine.
Okay, sure. Eli, good. Welcome aboard. Welcome to the program. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And it's a pleasure to have you. And you probably have listened to our program, I'm sure, over the last few months or so. And
I followed your program when you had Eustace Mullins on. I understand that he's regaining his health.
Well, I've been trying to get a hold of him, and you know he's harder to get a hold of than George Bush.
That's right.
To be honest with you.
Right.
He is. So is he doing well, Eustace Mullins?
I hear that he is, that he's out of the nursing home, and I'm not sure where he's living right now, but he's out of the nursing home and so must be doing fairly well.
Good. I'd like to get him back on the show, too. Excellent. Well, anyway, you are welcome aboard, and tell us a little bit, in the moment or so we have before the first break, tell us a little bit about yourself, Eli, and how you came to get into this ministry.
Well, it's a long story. It started in Vietnam when I came to the realization that our government was not trying to win that war, okay? We'd had several operations where we had simply gone into the jungle to recapture targets that we had simply abandoned, and you know, come back later to capture them again.
Right.
And I asked my first sergeant, you know, how many times do we have to capture the same hill before we before secured territory, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of my really good friends got killed there, and I swore to them I would find out what's behind this war and why we're really here.
Mm.
And, of course, it became known as a no-win war for that very reason, that mm-hmm. a lot of people suspected that the war was simply being dragged on indefinitely so the corporation could keep making money.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the way it turned out, too.
That's right. It's
and after
exactly
all
right.
was said and done, they betrayed all of that area to the communists.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I was there fighting against communism, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got back from Vietnam, I used the GI Bill to go to college, and I wound up having a lot of Jewish communist professors promoting communism at the University of Illinois. And I said to myself, what's going on here? I'm supposed to be fighting these people, not being educated by them.
mm-hmm. Right, right. And these were the ones that wanted to pull out of Vietnam after getting us there in there, and a no victory over communism, were the same ones whose parents were promoting all-out victory at any expense in World War II.
Right, right. Yeah, and
regardless,
so I finally came to the realization that, according to Smedley Butler, you know, his book, War is a Racket,
yes,
that indeed War is a Racket,
mm-hmm.
and that in order to find out who the top promoters of war are, you have to look at the richest people on the planet, and I found out who they were.
Yep, and that's a good beginning. All
okay.
right. Eli, we'll be back with you, and a very interesting program tonight, ladies and gentlemen. As always, tell your friends, tune in. And spread the word. It's Rick Adams, Uncensored, right here on RepublicBroadcasting.org.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
James, and we're talking about how everything started changing his life as a young man. And Eli, you're talking about the Vietnam experience, and then when you came back, the these Kenite Jewish philosophers or teachers or faculty people were having being shoved in your face, and your reaction to them. Continue,
right.
Please. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was quite a culture shock for me. Obviously, in those days, soldiers returning from Vietnam were not appreciated, okay?
Yeah.
And it was a real culture shock to be risking your life, supposedly fighting for freedom and democracy, and to come back and people spitting in your face, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen to me personally because I was met by my relatives. They protected me from that. But nevertheless, The culture shock and how should I put it, the way in which returning Vietnam veterans were simply marginalized, okay,
mm-hmm.
as, like, how dare you, fight against those innocent people in Vietnam. And the fact is, I didn't really believe we belonged there. You know, I was one of the many, and there were many who didn't think that this war was right and we shouldn't have been over there, okay. Mm-hmm. Let me just go... reference one experience I had, and anybody who's in the Washington, D.C. area or is planning to travel there, I'd like you to look up the name of Private First Class John Campbell. He was my best buddy in my early stay in Vietnam, and he had had a vision We were talking one day. We were always arguing the philosophy of war and why wars happen and why does God allow wars to happen, et cetera, you know. Mm-hmm. And we would have these philosophical debates. And in the middle of one of these debates, he suddenly stopped and his eyes glazed over and he just stared out into space and he said, "I just saw my life passing out of me through my throat." And I said, "What are you, crazy? Don't talk nonsense. You know, you can't be serious." Well, sure enough, 2 weeks later, he was walking point on an operation, and he caught a bullet right in the throat.
Really?
And so his life literally left him through his throat. So he foresaw his own death. And so anybody who passes by the Vietnam Memorial, the names are listed in alphabetical order. Campbell, Private First Class John. Okay, so he was my best buddy in Vietnam, and I'm dedicating, you know, my efforts to find out who the real antagonists of the human race are, and that's why I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, what happened? How did you evolve from there? As far as your spiritual life.
Right. Well, I wanted to understand the Bible,
right.
And I had started reading it, and I found out I really couldn't make any heads or tails of it, okay? So what I did was I took a lot of courses on comparative religion, mm-hmm. to try to find out what are the major themes that existed, you know, in other religions that preceded the Bible, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I studied Hinduism, Tantra, Buddhism, and other religions, you know, that were prevalent in the area to try to find what the commonalities are. And I found, indeed, there are a lot of commonalities. And I found the metaphysics and the moral teachings of all the ancient religions are pretty much the same, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very little deviation therein. And so, but I didn't really start to understand the Bible until I got into the history of the, you know, early Bible figures, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And that I discovered by reading the works, oddly enough, of the pyramidologists of the British Israel school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with pyramidology at all?
Yes, yes. And what did you first come in contact with any particular British Israelite? Was it Armstrong or someone like that?
Well, yeah, it was the writings of Armstrong, although, you know, he was dead already by the time in the 70s. But I became familiar with the works of Sheldon Emery.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Bertrand Comperé, Dr. Wesley Swift,
mm-hmm.
people like that.
Right.
And, you know, once I got a hold of their writings on Scripture, which was presenting a historical perspective of Scripture, I was hooked and I could never turn back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now the changes that were taking place eventually led you to this movement, basically. But what did you decide you were going to study formally in any institution, any college, any theological school, or did you just let the Spirit lead you and educate you in the Scriptures?
Well, I took my GI Bill as far as it would go.
Right,
I was majoring in philosophy and psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I have an undergraduate degree in liberal arts in those two majors.
Right.
And I continued in studying formal logic for 3 semesters after there.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I wanted to, I could go back to college and, you know, get a higher degree in either philosophy or psychology. But I preferred to stay in the philosophical realm. I wanted to figure out, you know, what is mind? I wanted to understand what is consciousness and, you know, how does man develop a mind and consciousness and identity of self? It's the big mystery of philosophy and psychology. And I figured the only answer really would be in religion, okay? And
mm-hmm.
so, I pursued that angle, but then my GI Bill ran out, and I had to make a decision whether to pursue a desk job as a professor in philosophy or psychology, or whether to join my father in his carpentry and plastering business, you know,
mm-hmm.
so I chose the latter because I needed the money.
Right. So you took the practical then, huh? The
yes, right.
Practical.
Well, I'm just a carpenter from Chicago.
Well, there you go. It sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yes.
Carpenter. Yeah. And the artsmen and the artisans, workers, down-to-earth people, you know, in the Scriptures. You know, I was told years ago by a minister, a pastor who, his theology was somewhat strange, but, in any event, he meant well. well, and he had a good grasp of politics, excellent grasp of political history. But when it came to the scriptures, he was somewhat, I guess you could say, semi-literate, because he started, you know, getting into the exposures of Darby and Schofield and all of that.
Right.
But he never evolved, if I may use that, Jim. He never really understood the whole purpose of scriptures, and certainly didn't believe in, you know, British Israelism or identity or any of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, he said to me one day, he said, "What are you doing in broadcasting? You know, I was in the church," and I said, "Well, this is where I feel I have the ability and the talent, you know, to do something." And he says, well, in so many words, he was condescending and said,
yeah,
you know, Christian people really don't belong in this field. They really should do something with their hands, and they should, you know, get into the working field rather than living by wit.
Yes.
And by word and verbosity. So anyway,
yeah, take orders.
Here I am today, 25 years later, right? And mm-hmm. Here I am still being used to do some work here for the
right.
Lord, I hope, and doing faithfully as much as I can. But you see, that's how people can be mistaken.
Yeah, surely.
When they go into various fields. But to each his own, and I think we're given certain talents, each of us, and we have to do something with those talents. Otherwise, you know, he'll take them from us.
Yes.
That's what he expects, doesn't he?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, ultimately, the battle is between truth and lies, okay?
Yes.
And that's true at the university level. It's true in religion. It's certainly true in politics.
mm-hmm.
Who do you believe?
Truth in politics.
Who do you believe? And the problem the for mankind has always been, they've been believing the liars instead of the truth tellers.
I usually phrase it, who do you disbelieve more?
Yeah, right.
Isn't that something?
And so, but now there's a certain healthy skepticism returning to politics today, which has been lacking. I'd say when I grew up in the 50s, there was a healthy skepticism of politicians, of Hollywood, of you know, the entertainment field, and even of pastors. You know, you have to have a healthy skepticism and be ready to criticize anything that doesn't sound right. You know, in other words, you have to use your own mind, you know, and not just trust people what they say. And since the 1960s, we've had this era of trusting big government. And since that began in the 1960s, we see that America has rapidly declined into what we're, you know, seeing right now, into a police state.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all by design, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that people are greedy, or, you know, that the average person is out for himself. No, the problem lies at the upper echelons, as I like to say, the scum rises to the top. And these bailouts of the very people who have been, you know, imposing this dictatorship upon us is proof that the scum has risen to the top. And they're the enemy of America. They're not the people who, you know, should be running our country. Certainly not the bankers. The bankers are the least moral people on the planet. And they should have no right at all to determine what government policy is, but they determine our policy by the fact that they create the money and spend it into circulation, and that's what determines what our policy is.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, do you happen to feel, though, as I do, that what we're experiencing here with this malaise affecting America and the crises that we're in now is really not something that is not biblically foretold? I mean, that we are in a period of judgment. Are we not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the main aspects of my ministry, is explaining how all of the current events that we're experiencing right now have all been prophesied, and explicitly so.
Mm-hmm.
There's really
right.
little doubt about what's being said, you know, in Scripture,
mm-hmm.
that Mystery Babylon is going to be a worldwide empire of merchants.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
exactly what Revelation says in chapters 17 through 19.
Right, exactly, yeah. Okay, you hear the music?
Yeah.
And we'll be back with you, Eli James, AngloSaxonIsrael.com. And you can join us in a little while. We'll take questions as we go along, but you stay tuned now. We'll take a break and be right back with more of Rick Adams Uncensored, right here on RepublicBroadcasting.org.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com or call us at 800-610-2770.
The first step in winning the war? Spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on rbnlive.com.
All righty. I think we're back now. Yes, we are. Eli James is with me tonight, and his website here, AngloSaxonIsrael.com. We see the headline of this study, Eighth Beast of the Apocalypse, right,
correct.
Eli?
Yes.
And that's quite a lengthy dissertation from the scriptures on where we are today. And then, lo and behold, at the very bottom of the page, I find it very interesting that you have a countdown here to Judgment Day, it says.
That's right.
Now, how did you come up with that?
Well, it's December 21st, 2012, which is commonly called the Mayan end date.
Right.
And as a historian for my people Israel, I realized long ago, you know, in tracing the history of the migrations of the 12 tribes of Israel, which actually go way back into, you know, the second millennium B.C. and even earlier, because mm-hmm. the ships of Dan and Zebulun and Gad and Asher, etc., mm-hmm. they made transcontinental journeys. And you have all kinds of Hebrew inscriptions all over America, etc., you know.
Sure. Yeah,
yeah, and so the Mayan calendar actually was not conceived by the Mayans themselves. It was delivered to them by what they call the bearded white men. Okay, mm-hmm. and these bearded white men, they said, came to their land on ships from the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. and so it's probably a a sect of either Phoenicians or Israelites that brought this knowledge to the Mayans, and the Mayans simply preserved it for us.
Wow, you think that's what happened?
That's right. Yeah.
Now, do you have any solid proof that that's
well, directly underneath that countdown is a link to the article Y2012.
Right, right.
And in that article, I detail all the evidence that this calendar actually derives from the bearded white men, and is not a local. Obviously, it's preserved locally, but it was brought to them from by the people from the Atlantic, from the ships from the Atlantic Ocean.
But now, do you personally feel that you or anyone else could foretell the day when Jesus returns?
Well, Jesus says nobody knows the day or the hour.
Right. That's right.
but I think I'm close to about the week. I think it's going to be really close to that time. And when I first made that prediction, which was like maybe 5 years ago, people said, "Oh, you're crazy." But now the way things are unfolding today, with the world economy collapsing and no sign of improvement, people are beginning to think, well, maybe it's going to happen even before then.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, people are speculating, but, my philosophy, I think, is to play it safe. I never go out on a limb and make predictions or prophecies because I don't feel I'm qualified to do so, but I try to be a watchman on the wall,
right,
as the scripture says, and just try to watch for the signs. And, you know, isn't it interesting that Jesus did say to watch Jerusalem?
Right.
And he kept saying that, watch Jerusalem at the end times. This would be a sign of the end. And lo and behold, we see in Jerusalem all of this activity, and we see this group of people who say they are Jews, and they say that they are Israelites, and then they kill and they maim and destroy and rape and pillage and murder
in the name of God. Yes,
all of that good stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they wear the long beards and the yarmulkes, and then I find that it's interesting that the media, of course, which is primarily of the same tribal persuasion, will never tell the American people or the people of the Goy world that these people hate Jesus.
Right.
They would make it sound like, well, they don't believe as we do, and they don't have all of our same religiosity or religious values, but they certainly are walking arm in arm with us, and they are our brethren under Judeo-Christianity, as they call it, Judeo-Christian nation. And that's about it. That's all the American public is permitted to know, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. Well, in my writings, I've gone a long way in researching the intertestamental period, that is, that period between the writing of the Old Testament and the writing of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That portion of history is very obscure. Very few authors have written anything about it. And in my writings, such as the Informed Consensus, Misconceptions of Josephus, and various other writings, I have shown that the Jewish religion actually stems from the Pharisees.
Right.
It does not predate the days of the Pharisees in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's incorrect to call Hebrewism Judaism, okay? Because Judaism was invented by the Pharisees. It never existed before the days of the Pharisees. And Jesus himself condemns the Pharisees for teaching the doctrines of men as if they were the doctrines of God, okay? Pretending that it's the law of Moses when, in fact, it's their own traditions making the law of Moses of none effect, all right?
Right.
And then the various Jewish encyclopedias and authors go on to admit that this is, in fact, the case, that the Jewish religion is not Hebrewism at all. It's not the law of Moses at all. It's Talmudism.
Right, right.
Which in many cases absolutely contradicts what the law of Moses teaches.
So, of course, the
Jewish world, especially, you know, the organized Jewry of all of the committees and international corporations and Bible research people, they do not want us to know these things.
That's for sure. Okay, we'll be back with Eli James, our guest. And I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned for more in just 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johngliha.com. Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngliha.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we're back now with Eli James, and we're having this interesting, fabulous conversation, primarily tonight about, obviously, about the scriptures, but even so, about prophecy itself and how, of course, many people make a shipwreck of prophecy.
Yes, right.
And as you know, Eli, of course, they start out with a false premise that they've been taught in theological seminaries.
Right, exactly. Well, it was around 1995 that I figured out who all eight beasts are, of course. Mm-hmm. And most of your biblical scholars don't even talk about number eight. They'll only about the seven-headed kingdom.
Right, so, right.
Yeah, and they rarely talk about the eighth beast. And those who do will try to identify it as either America, which is wrong, or they will say it's the United Nations, which is very close. That's very close. But
I find that they've always taught this idea, and even, of course, the Armstrongs got into this, and that was that Rome and the Vatican as one,
yes,
the Roman state, would be the final, be the final eighth beast of Revelation, basically.
Right.
And they would make excuses, and they would talk about the Jews as Judah. And I remember talking to a pastor from that church on a local program about 6 years ago, And I asked the question, well, how is it that this particular group that says it's Judah in the Middle East, how is it they were preserved? And, you know, the line they've given is that they've kept the Sabbath.
Right.
And when they keep the Sabbath, then they have been preserved throughout the centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but these people, first of all, do not keep the Sabbath. Oh, they put on a show in Israel every time, you know, the time comes and they want to put on the cloak of religiosity that they're religious, quote, Jews, unquote. But
right.
The reality is, all we have to do is look at Judaism, if you will, today, and look at it throughout Israel here in the United States and see all of the merchants who are open all day on Saturday.
Right.
They don't keep the Sabbath.
Yes.
They don't shut down for the Sabbath. And, of course, that shattered that myth.
Right.
So, I, you know, we went from there, and it went downhill from there, because there's no logic to that position to me.
No.
And there's no scriptural basis for it.
Well, it goes back to the prophecy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul says that true Israel will be struck with a great delusion.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do not have the love for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And this is part of the great delusion, namely that the Jews are Israel, which they are not. Okay, so you can mm-hmm. start out simply by pointing out that the vast majority of Jews today stem from the Khazar Ashkenazi line, mm-hmm. which is 90-95% of Jewry today, and none of these people had a single Shemitic ancestor.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
They all converted to Judaism in the 8th century, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And now there is a lot of Edomite blood in the Khazar ancestry because the Sephardic Jews, the rabbinical Jews, who are of the Edomite line, they're not of the Judahite line, they're of Edom,
mm-hmm.
and the Jewish Encyclopedia admits this, Edom
mm-hmm.
is in Jewry, quote-unquote,
mm-hmm.
and if you look up the Jewish encyclopedias and just type in Edom, or Idumea, you know, and those are Canaanite, you will find that they admit that they have even the 5-10% that originated in Palestine have Edomite blood.
Right.
Okay?
Sure.
So, how can these people claim to be Shemitic people when, in fact, their history, their whole history is as the enemies of Israel,
right,
not
right.
as Israel itself?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this I've devoted most of my ministry in explaining these things historically.
Right.
And, you know, and just about all of these things are verified by the prophecies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, let me get into
the
it actually starts in the book of Daniel, where Daniel was asked to interpret a dream that was a recurring nightmare
mm-hmm.
that was plaguing Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon at the time. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and this was during the Babylonian captivity.
Right.
And this is from my article on the Eighth Beast of the Apocalypse. When Nebuchadnezzar had his first terrifying dream, he asked Daniel to interpret the dream for him. In the dream, he saw the image of a statue of a multiple beast which had a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and feet of iron and clay.
Mm-hmm.
This composite image was in the dream completely destroyed by God. Daniel interpreted the dream in this way. He said that he, Nebuchadnezzar, and his kingdom was the head of gold. After him, there would come other kingdoms symbolized by the other elements of the image.
Right.
The final kingdom would be divided into two parts, which is symbolized by the legs and feet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have four kingdoms, and the first is definitely Babylon. Okay.
Right.
Now, continuing, it was during Daniel's presence in Babylon that the first shift in power from gold to silver in the image took place. Darius, king of the Medes and Persians, invaded Babylon and conquered it,
mm-hmm.
slaying Belshazzar, son of Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. That's Daniel 5:30-31, okay? And this took place around the year 539 B.C. So Daniel's vision, the first two elements of it, were completely confirmed by, you know, historical developments.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kingdom of brass turned out to be, of course, Greece, okay? And, of course, the second image, second aspect of the image, the arms and chest of silver, was the Medo-Persian Empire, which was split into two. It was two kingdoms combined into one, and that's why we have the two arms, okay?
Yes.
So we find that this image is very, very descriptive of the prophetic outworking of history from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then then Alexander the Great, the belly and thighs,
mm-hmm.
Is, of course, Greece, and which mm-hmm. conquered the Medo-Persian Empire around 330 B.C. And as he further prophesies in chapter 11, the kingdom of Alexander was divided into four parts. Okay, this was prophesied in the book of Daniel. And so the four sub-kingdoms were Greece under Cassander, Thrace under Lysimachus, Syria under Antigonus, and Egypt under Ptolemy. Okay?
Right, right.
So these prophecies are extremely accurate. I would venture to say the odds of something like this coming true, having been prophesied a couple hundred years before, are extremely remote.
Okay? Exactly, exactly.
But these prophecies came true, you know, to the letter, okay? And so finally, the fourth part of the image, the legs of iron, represent Rome, okay? Because it was Rome that defeated Greece.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Right, exactly. It all fits, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so this is kind of standard interpretive technique of those, you know, those who have studied the ancient history of these prophecies and show that it has come true. There's not too much disagreement about this, you know, in scholarly circles, but when it comes to the book of Revelation, there's more disagreement, and, you know, you have to really pay attention to the language carefully to get it right, okay?
Absolutely, yeah. So it makes sense, and there's no incorrectness. In other words, everything checks and balances out, right?
Yes,
right.
And
historically, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. So let me jump into the book of Revelation here. I'm going to jump ahead a bit to Revelation 17:15, and it says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked to me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters." Okay, so many waters means many nations, okay? Mm-hmm. And what's this great whore? Well, it's the international banking system, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Continuing. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the object of these prophecies is Mystery Babylon. It's absolutely critical that you know, Christians understand what and who Mystery Babylon is.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and of course we get into the number of the beast a little bit later on, but what you've just suggested in the chronology is quite accurate, and we've seen these kingdoms and empires come and go.
That's right.
And the final one, and we've talked about before with other guests, the eighth beast of Revelation, is this Rothschild, it seems, this Rothschild banking interest, which, of course, is not just to a geographical area any longer, it's a worldwide system that was foretold to Daniel under King Nebuchadnezzar.
That's right. Well,
and
actually,
this is the only thing that fits.
Right. Well, and you know, as we'll find out, that Babylonian economic system that existed under Nebuchadnezzar and the other kings,
right,
was actually, we could call it fractional reserve banking, okay? Because what they had was the clay tablets, which were used as receipts for goods and for deposits, such as gold deposits, okay? And they found out they could circulate these receipts as a kind of, well, couldn't call it paper money, but as promissory notes, okay? And these promissory notes would circulate just as much as the gold or silver that were on deposit, because whoever bore the note could take that note to the bank and claim the gold or the silver or whatever was being stored at the bank, okay?
Yes.
And what these bankers found out was, well, very, very few people ever would come back to claim the gold. And the reason for that is because gold is very heavy, and it's difficult to transport, and it's very valuable, and you can only make large purchases with it. So the gold tended to stay in the banks.
Right.
So what they did was they started counterfeiting promissory notes, okay, to the tune of 10 times the amount of promissory notes in circulation as there was gold on deposit.
Boy, it sounds awfully familiar, yeah.
Yes. Well, they've been doing the same thing with paper money, don't you know? Okay.
And when we were on the gold standard, they did the same thing then. And had fractional reserve banking, as you point out. Now there is nothing, absolutely no metal, no backing whatsoever.
No backing
and
whatsoever.
And they're free to do whatever they want.
Now, in the 1960s, I remember silver certificates.
Okay? I do, too.
Those silver certificates stated on there that if you took this silver certificate to the bank was obligated to pay you in silver for that piece of paper. That was the law. Okay. So that piece of paper was actually worth something.
It was redeemable, yeah,
it was
in
redeemable.
Lawful money.
Exactly, in lawful
in
money, which is
yeah.
silver. The Constitution
right.
defines a dollar as so many grains of silver.
Exactly.
It doesn't define it as a piece of paper. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the mysteries of the Babylonian money system, how
right.
they can create their own wealth by just printing paper money and using this wealth to buy out corporations, okay, to determine the government policies, both foreign and domestic,
exactly.
and basically lead the country behind the scenes without anybody knowing it.
That's exactly what I was talking about last night in the first hour, and that how when we had the Gold Reserve Act of 1934 under Roosevelt,
mm-hmm.
What we found
Roosevelt,
that,
that's good.
Yeah, like fraudulent deficit Roosevelt.
Yeah,
we saw how that was possible was to internationalize our economy and make it dependent on foreigners who then would control the government's politics and their economics as well.
Exactly.
Very true. Now, that has come to the point where now it is totally under their control of the one world system, and we are in, like it or not, we are now in the one world system. But it's not complete yet, is it?
It's not. Well, it's about as complete as it's going to get.
don't you think there's a little bit more room here?
Yeah.
We have to have total worldwide economic collapse, don't we?
Right. Well, I think what the internationalists have in store for America is an ultimatum.
Mm-hmm.
Either you join the New World Order full tilt,
right,
okay,
right.
and give up the sovereignty of the United States Constitution.
That's the key.
Okay, and then act under the United Nations Charter,
mm-hmm.
which is, in fact, a Rothschild entity.
Mm-hmm.
The United Nations
mm-hmm.
was created by the Rothschilds, okay,
yes.
just as the Israeli state was created by the Rothschilds, just as the Federal Reserve System was created by the Rothschilds. These are all interrelated events.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so this is Mystery Babylon, and so what we're witnessing now is the collapse of the international monetary system, which has empowered Mystery Babylon
mm-hmm.
since 1913 with the foundation of the Federal Reserve System.
Right.
Okay, now I think part of it is beyond their control, because the Ponzi scheme. You know, there's a point where you cannot spend yourself into prosperity anymore because you spend so much money it becomes worthless. And that's
mm-hmm.
why the international economy is collapsing.
Right.
They've overspent Federal Reserve notes to the extent that nobody wants them anymore.
And, of course, they did not exactly, shall we say, find this accidentally. I mean, they had
no.
foreseen all of this as well.
Yes. Well, they knew there would be a collapse coming, but part of the problem is whenever you invest in a scam, and that's
mm-hmm.
what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you invest in a scam and all your partners are scammers,
yes.
and the scam starts falling apart, what happens is the scammers start scamming each other, and that's what the Madoff scandal is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And these bailouts, that's what these bailouts are all about. Okay?
Exactly.
So the system, it's definitely beyond their control.
There is no honor among thieves, to
no.
say the least.
Exactly, exactly. So what they're doing, and this is the only thing they really can do, is to keep promoting warfare so that they can cover up the fact that they're the ones responsible for all this chaos that's going on, keep the people distracted by constant warfare, and, you know, pretend that there's nothing they can do about it. It's like that's beyond their control. And no, the fact is they're the ones that are creating all this warfare
mm-hmm.
in order to provide a sideshow to prevent people from actually asking the proper questions, why is our economy in such a mess?
Right. So the economy must collapse now
yes.
at some point.
It will.
We must be brought totally into the one world system.
Yes.
And most people haven't a clue as to what's going on.
Exactly.
Simply because the same people run most of the major media.
That's right. And the
media
is not telling us anything about
no.
what you and I are talking about.
They keep them in darkness, as the scripture says. The whole world is in
that's
darkness.
Right.
Now that's purposeful, too. And the Father has preordained that all of this is going to happen. And a lot of people say, well, that's pretty mean of him, and that's a dirty trick, you know. And why is he doing that to his people, true Israel?
Right.
And he tells us why in the scriptures, and the lesson always has been, because his people have disobeyed him.
That's right.
And when
that's
they
right.
disobey him, he has to punish them.
Yeah, and that's why we in Identity don't advocate trying to overthrow any governments. Because
mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles 7:14 and
mm-hmm.
various other places in Scripture
right.
clearly state that we will have peace and prosperity if we obey his law.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
all we have to do.
It will come naturally, yes.
Yes. But yes, our people constantly refuse to obey his law.
Right.
They always substitute man's law instead.
Exactly. Yeah.
And today
that's
we
right
can call
on
it liberalism.
Sure. That's right on. That's
yes,
excellent. What you say is definitely true. And, you know, when we come back from the next break, I'd like to get into a little bit more of what you foresee scripture-wise in terms of how this system worldwide will have to be created now with war and total chaos across the world in order for Americans to surrender their Constitution, their Bill of Rights, what's left of it, to surrender their sovereignty to this beast system that'll be worldwide. That'll be my question when we come back.
Okay.
Eli James is my guest, and he's pastor, and again, we're talking with him about the book of Revelation and Daniel and the whole scripture tonight with the identity movement, so to speak. I'm Rick Adams. Be right back.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
All right, we're back now with Eli James. And Eli, of course, getting a bit ahead of myself here, but you mentioned the first four beasts of Revelation, and then we find the next three beasts in the number 666. And you might want to make a brief comment on that before I get to my other question that I just asked, okay?
Yeah, well, the number 666 specifically refers to the papacy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you find that the slogan that's printed on the papal mitre, which is that tall conehead cap that the popes wear, okay?
Right.
It has the slogan on there, Vicarius Filii Dei.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just go by Roman numerals and add the numbers of those letters up, you will find out that it adds up to 666. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Right.
Which, and every, how should I put this? All of the reformers, the Protestants
right.
of the day who thought that the papacy was evil, referred to the papacy as the Antichrist.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And so when they found out that this slogan adds up to 666, they said, oh my, it's right here. It's mm-hmm. the papacy.
Yep. Yep.
And they were correct. The papacy was the Antichrist of its day.
Of its time, right.
Yes.
And Martin Luther and John Huss and Calvin and others and who were persecuted and put to the death, like
That's
Huss,
right.
burned to the stake and so forth
yep.
for their obedience to the Lord. And then, you know, you find, as you point out here, you have on your website the Emperor Constantine making Christianity the state religion during the 300s A.D.
Right. Yes. But he was not a convinced Christian. His mother was actually the Queen of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And his father was a Roman. His mother was a Briton. And she was a very devout Christian.
Right.
But he did not actually convert to Christianity until his deathbed.
Right, right.
So he was not, but he, nevertheless, he had the vision to follow the sign of the cross.
Right, right.
And conquer in the name and sign of the cross,
mm-hmm.
okay, which he did. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those situations where it was a political move on his part. He was not really, whenever you have a merger of an old religion and a new religion, there's compromises made by both sides.
Yes.
And too much paganism was retained by the Catholic Church. Okay.
Right. Right.
Easter being a devotion of Astarte, for example.
Right.
Okay.
Christmas and Easter, yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, things like that, and way many more, you know.
Then you have the seventh beast, and you have the rise of Napoleon.
Yes.
And that is the same concept as the beast system worldwide, right?
Right. Well,
Totally worldwide, but in Europe, in the continent of Europe.
Yes.
In America.
Well, every beast, you know, was the leader of the main influence of the world that they were lived in, okay,
mm-hmm.
and were capable of conquering, you know,
right.
greater territories if
exactly.
they wanted to. But, it's like Rome. Rome found out they could only spend so much and conquer so many nations.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, Napoleon actually had a vast empire. If you count the league he made with the Russians before he invaded Russia,
mm-hmm.
he controlled all of Europe and mm-hmm. even down to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And he even had outposts in Mexico. So, Napoleon's empire, even though it was short,
right.
was very very large.
Indeed. All right. I see we have a break coming midway here. We have another hour to go. In 1 minute, we'll do that, and you stay just where you are, Eli. And our guest is Eli James. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take some calls in a little while, so you can join us at any time on the program. Rick Adams, Uncensored, right here on RepublicBroadcasting.org.